on an all-new installment of Two Jews and a Gay. Fallout from the ever-so-important debate between Todd and Brian.
Now, I'm clearly the better-looking late 30s homosexual on this show.
Oh, honey, You need to take a back seat, because this hot toddy ages beautifully at a rate half your age. Plus 7. Wait, homosexual?
Meanwhile, has Time Warner finally defeated Spencer?
Time Warner has defeated me. Spencer!
And finally, has Jeremy's pursuit of sexting utopia taken a wrong turn through the depths of Tinder?
I don't know what's real anymore. Everywhere I look, I see flashes.
Of boobs and badge?
Yes! Well, no, just the words of them.
Now, take a seat, crank up the volume, because here we go.
Along with Jeremy Katz.
Brian, I've got a bit of a beef with you.
And, of course, Spencer Yasmin.
Can you find that at Costco's in the Hebrew National section?
You could definitely find it at Costco's, but it is not kosher.
Damn it.
So, what's your beef?
So, our audience might not know this, but we spend a lot of time on this podcast. A lot of time producing it, a lot of time editing it, and a lot of time of Spencer and Brian fighting about each other.
And a lot of man juice.
A lot of man juice. Sweat. A lot of man juice. And Brian, I love you. You're the quote-unquote sound guy of this podcast.
Allegedly
the sound guy of this podcast. We actually brought in an executive producer, Derek Green, because there were some issues with you in the past.
And he said you're not a sound guy, to be fair.
Oh, he's big time. But Brian, what the fuck happened to your audio last week? Seriously.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're still talking? Your audio is breaking up a little bit.
He's a funny guy, Spencer.
Funny guy.
Well, actually, this is going to be something I cover in the weekly rant, so I'm actually not going to address it right now. And we're going to move on to talk to Spencer and see
how. We're not going to move on. Before we move on, though, I get texts from Mr. San Francisco Dan Rosebaum from Nick
first
West.
First, it's Dan, so I'm sorry. Like, it immediately has less credence.
Well, that's actually a good point.
We're moving along to Spencer. And if you want to bring that up, maybe in the Dirty Talk segment, bring up Spencer or Dan's comments. By all means, do so. But for right now, we're moving over to Spencer.
Well, I got one last point before we move over to Spencer. Not only do you have horrible sound quality, okay, that's one thing. You then release a version of the podcast that sounds drastically worse than the version I gave you. To the point that you even admit that you released a worse version. So then, a day later, you send the updated version, which is how it should have sounded in the beginning. Like, I don't get what made you release a worse version. You asked for my file. I gave you my file.
Well, because
your editing
skills honestly kind of sucked. You were adding in blips and clicks and things with pauses.
All right, Spencer, can you explain to me that's Todd, okay? Please explain the sound effects of Todd Yasmin.
No, I actually saw the source file. Jeremy, I actually saw the source file, what you were working on. You added bizarre pauses and gaps in there where none needed to be made, and what was happening is those sounds were coming up as clicks and so I tried to get rid of them.
But
that's what happened.
The quality sounded even worse. I mean, I appreciate the effort and audience. We should all applaud Brian. He puts a lot of work into this. But I thought it was a great episode, and when I get texts again from Mr. San Francisco, where all he says to me is,
No. We are not discussing Dan's comments until the appropriate time, which would be under Dirty Talk.
Mr. San Francisco.
All right, I feel a little better now. I feel a little better now.
Okay. Go smoke a cigarette.
I'm smoking one.
Spencer, you haven't really joined in, but I understand you're a little stressed out.
I'm extremely stressed out, man. Fucking Time Warner Cable is driving me crazy. Every 5 seconds, my TV goes off, on, because I got one of those smart TVs. Uh-huh. But the internet doesn't work. So they're really fucking me in the ass. I'll tell you that. They're really fucking me good. Yeah, I've had 3 no-shows from Time Warner. On the 3rd one, they told me that he was there, the cable guy, but that he called my number and I wasn't there.
Oh, my God. You know, I had the exact same experience.
I'm playing games to myself.
Spencer, did they give you a specific time, or was it like a 1 to 4 range?
It was a this one was at 8 to 9 a.m. on a Saturday morning. So, you know, of course, you know, I would lie to – why would why would I lie to myself? Why would I call them up and wait on the phone for 30 minutes just so they can tell me that, oh, no, he did call. You just never picked up. I said, here's my phone. I don't have any records. Like, what am I trying to get out of this $10 coupon that they keep giving me?
I had a similar situation where they swore up and down that they called my number. I'm like, I have my phone right here. Like, well, we have you as a 323-93, like 36. I'm like, I've never had that number. How do you fucking have that number? And then, of course, I made the mistake of calling during some big fight weekend. And I literally, and I kid you not, I was on hold for over 3 hours because they could not fucking figure out how to set up my tuning adapter with my cable card so that my TiVo would work. It was.
Do you think it's possible that they really were just messing with you because they're like, I can't believe this guy's actually staying on the phone for 3 hours, and they were taking wagers on how long you would stay on.
I needed to be on the phone with them so they could send their stupid automated programming bullshit over to them. It was really irritating.
Now, Spencer.
Hey, IT nerd, we got another sucker on the phone. I'll patch him through. I want to hear this one. Yeah, this reminds – have you guys have seen the South Park episode from last season?
Where they pull down their nipples
Yeah, they're rubbing their nipples because, like, Time Warner just has everybody by the balls. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's really what's going on. It's like I got in this – I just yelled. I always told myself I will never become my father, how he just gets irate and just starts yelling at people on the phone about the stupidest things. Growing up, I said, I will never do this because I don't want to, like, have a heart attack at 40. Uh-huh. And then here I was like, I'm just going to do it. I'm just going to turn into Dr. Ron right now. I just started yelling at this woman because she refused to, like, comp my bill, you know, kept saying how the person called me when I didn't pick up. And I just called her every possible name in the phone in the world. And she just continued to remain calm, which angered me more. You know what I mean? Like, I wanted her to yell back
at me. Here's a question. Did you drop the C word, though?
I didn't. I came
because
so close.
I guarantee you no woman stays calm after being called a cunt. It just doesn't happen.
You're right. And I was thinking to myself, I've always had a way – I mean, you can ask all my friends this through college and whatnot. Mm-hmm. I've always had a way of getting under people's skin.
Like, no.
I remember in college my groomsman, Grant Brown, he knew because he got a kick out of it because this girl was really sassy and I used the word toots on her to get under her skin. Mm-hmm. And she's like, you call me Toots one more time. I'm like, all right, easy there, Tootsie Roll. And I knew it, she'd snap. So I've always had this way of getting under people's skin. You know, it's kind of sick in a way why I do that. But I was so tempted to
It makes you feel like
word,
a big man.
But I still couldn't do it. I still couldn't do it.
I can see that girl. I can see that girl after he says, listen, Tootsie Roll, then cut to her with him in a headlock.
With her eating actual Tootsie Rolls. And now she's like 500 pounds. But hey, these things happen. But yeah, I almost lost my cool. I mean, I did lose my cool, but I was so close to using that word. And
give us a sample, Spencer. Give us a sample. What did you call her?
I called her a fucking bitch.
Oh,
really? You called someone on Time Warner a fucking bitch?
I just said, what gives you the goddamn right to treat a customer like this? I said, you have no fucking respect for my time.
Wow.
I just kept yelling. And I could just see her on the other end laughing with her friends like they were laughing at Brian for being on the phone for 3 hours as they were, quote unquote, helping him with his technical difficulties.
Wow.
Now, Jeremy, can you pass that cigarette? Because I need a smoke, please.
There you go.
And I actually feel a little self-conscious. I feel like I should go check my audio to make sure it's recording correctly. All right. Jeremy.
Yes.
Rumor has it that over the last 2 weeks, you've had a very successful Tinder experience. And I was wondering if you might care to share about what happened.
I think you need to define successful.
You banged a Tinder date.
I mean, it's no surprise to my friends that are listening that I've gone out on a shit ton of dates. And I feel like every time Spencer asks what I'm doing tonight, I say I can't talk because I've got a date.
And just as your financial analyst, I have been keeping a budget of your expenditures. We need to talk about that because you are now over $99 for the last 2 months.
Oh, brutal, brutal. I mean, figure what? Let's say if I'm getting two drinks and she gets two drinks, let's say what? They're $9, $10 a piece. Yeah, that's an expensive night. It really is.
Oh, I'm going to have to update my template. 1 second. I didn't realize it was that much.
So I've gone out on a lot of Tinder dates, and you know, 75% of them go nowhere. You know, a lot of times – they're fine, but anyone that's listening, we've all done the first dates. What do you do? Where are you from? Yada, yada, yada. They never ask about Spencer. You know, it's the same old, same old. So
you're not getting a plus one for that.
No, not at all. So there was this girl that I had met on Tinder, and she was very cute. And we matched up, and we started talking, and I applied a little bit of that Jeremy Katz charm, Brian.
And that worked.
It always does. And so then we get her number, and you know,
for a while.
So we're chatting, you know, texting. We're trying to set up a date. She's busy one weekend. I'm busy the next weekend. And there's little signs here and there that are a little awkward. But you know, I give the benefit of a doubt for someone. You know, if sometimes I try not to judge based on texts.
You mean your penis does?
Yeah, always. Yeah. I mean, I was judging away.
Beep, 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 beep.
But so anyway, so we finally end up setting on a night. We go on the date and we get there. And of course, you know, does she look as good as her photos? No, not at all. But whatever, I'm there. I'm like,
Do you think any woman ever thinks that you don't look as good as your photos?
I'm sure some do. But again, my philosophy is, you know, I've discussed this and debated this with Derek Green about that's why I pick photos that might not be my best photos. And I know you disagree with that too, but
Always lead with your aces, Jeremy.
And I did my research, Spencer. I did my research. I found her on Facebook. She had a couple photos. I found her on LinkedIn. Like, I did a little bit of research. I found photos of her. She was a cute girl. You know, she wasn't bad, but just.
And then she went to the war and came back.
Pretty much. So we're on the
date. She was a cute girl. And then goddamn Vietnam got to her.
So we're on the date, and just from the get-go, she cannot sit still. It's like literally she's done an entire bag of blow. Like she's fidgeting, she's moving, she's not really looking me in the eyes.
You would know that energy, wouldn't you, Jeremy?
Hey. And Mom, turn off the podcast. Anyway, we're talking, and I say to her a few times, I'm like, hey, don't – like calm down. Like you seem nervous. Like it's fine. Like totally, you know, calm down. And she's like, yeah. And like, you know, like we'll be talking and suddenly she'll just pull out her phone and start typing away on her phone. And I said to her once, I'm like, are you texting someone? And she's like, what? No, I'm going to show you a photo. And I was like, all right, well, usually someone would say, hey, let me show you a photo of this. That kind of behavior, just really weird. We got drinks, and in the drinks there was a metallic spoon, which is also a straw. I'm sure you guys have all seen that. You can drink out of it and it acts as a stirrer. And she kept saying to me, that's
not a
straw.
What kind of drink did you get that – those are generally ones that you would assume with like an icy drink.
I took it for like a milkshake. Yeah. I mean I should have taken it a milkshake. Yeah. Would have saved me some money. But she refuses to drink out of it. She doesn't think it's a straw. And I'm literally showing her as the liquid is disappearing that it's a straw. Every ingredient in my drink she loves. She refuses to have my drink to the point where I'm saying, you tell me you love this drink. Have a sip of it. I'm telling you this is the best cocktail there is in L.A. and she refuses to have it. She then comes to my side of the booth. She's like, let's talk a little closer. So I'm like, all right, whatever. And it's fine. And, you know, we end up getting the bill. I have a couple drinks in my system. You know, we leave. And I'm, you know, the gentleman. And I said, like, listen, I'm going to walk here to your car. She's like, okay. So we start walking down the neighborhood. And we walk one way. She goes, oh, my car's not here. So we walk back down the street. Oh, my car's not here. We walk back again down the street. Oh, my car's not here. To the point where
her car get stolen?
Well, but she's acting like the car's there, but she's like playing a game with me. So then I'm like, I don't know if this girl wants me like to be like, hey, do you want to come back to my place? I don't know what she's doing. It's weird behavior, Spencer. Just really weird.
It sounds that way. Goddamn Vietnam.
So eventually she's like, okay, I'll see you later. And we say goodbye. And then she goes down the street and gets in her car, which was in front of us the entire time. Brian, this was literally a 10-minute ordeal. Like,
dirtiest player in the game.
Yeah, I mean, I really can't abide by anyone who plays those kinds of games with car rides.
Yeah, but Brian, like, but we're making out, though, so it's not like she's trying to ditch me, like, abruptly. But I do have to admit that, again, there were signs beforehand, and I kind of want to read you guys a text conversation I had with her a week prior to us going out. All right. So I write to her, "Hey, how are you?" She writes, "Good. My mom, aunts, and cousin are here, smiley face, dot, 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 and so is the dude, LOL. As soon as he leaves, we're going to go out." So I'm thinking,
who's the dude?
I'm thinking, like, was this, like, an ex-boyfriend? Like, some dude. So I write, "Who's the dude, LOL? She then writes, "The cleaning guy, LOL. She then follows that up
Who calls the cleaning guy the dude?
We'll listen and see what happens. She then follows up by changing the subject about talking about how great the sunset is. I then write back, "Yeah, it was good." And then followed by, "Do you have a boyfriend?" She writes back, "LOL, a boyfriend?" I then write, "The dude." She writes, "Are you kidding me?" I then write, "Very fascinated by who the dude is, unless it's your dad." Again, she says she's hanging out with her mom, her sister, and the dude. Like, what's a dude, Spencer? A dude could be anything.
I was thinking it was dude.
Well, how many? And also, how many? She makes it sound like it's the housekeeper, but how many male housekeepers are there in LA?
Exactly. So then, after I say very fascinated by the dude, unless it's your dad, she then goes on to explain. "I went online and ordered cleaning from Homejoy. They said Alex would come and clean, so I was like, yay. Then Alex arrives at my door, and it went well. Dot dot dot. A guy, a.k.a. the dude." She then follows that up with, "You there?" And then I write, "Well, I hope he did a good job cleaning." And she ends it with, "Surprisingly, really good." I mean,
this is fascinating conversation, Jeremy.
When does the sexting enter in all this, by the way?
Well, it doesn't, by the way. I mean, I trust me, this girl's crazy. But, like, again, that was a sign. I could have saved myself some money. I'm a little mad at myself. I should have known that was a bad sign, but hey.
So wait,
I guess
I just want to clarify, you did not bang her?
No. I mean, can you imagine how...
Well, that's the question. I said,
but you also didn't sext her either.
No. I did. I tried, but it
this is very unlike you.
So let me guess, you tried by like around 11:36 at night, you sent a text message saying, "Up? You up?"
Well, you know, what I get most of my sexting...
He wrote "up, me up."
Most of my sexting, Brian, is done between the hours of 7 and 8 a.m. on weekdays.
Oh, such energy.
Well, no, it makes sense. You got the morning wood, and evidently women have the equivalent, which is called morning dew.
Spencer, should we be talking about this?
I don't see why not.
Does Corey get morning dew?
Going to say from 7 to 8, while Jeremy's got morning wood as a young sexual single individual, I'm just looking to cut a grapefruit and have a piece of challah with peanut butter. It's kind of sad.
The man's just trying to take a shit.
I'm doing everything possible to get it out. I'm like, oh, a little peanut butter, you know, a little grapefruit. Nothing works. Nothing.
All right. Well, Jeremy, please let us know the next time you have a more successful Tinder date. But let's actually pass it over to Spencer for the long missing in action but always demanded a little dirty talk. Spencer, Woo! Take it away.
Oh, there's no dirty talk this week. I don't have anything.
What?
Don't lie.
I'm lying. Yay! You got me. It's back.
Save those lies for your fiancé.
Oh, they've already begun. And she's on to me.
It's been a while since we've heard Spencer read like a 2-year-old, so I'm really excited to hear your voice again, read these quotes, and completely mangle it.
And you know who else is?
I promised myself I was going to type them out cleanly, you know, because the way these people say them to me, it's all, you know, chopped up. And here we are on a Wednesday night, 10 o'clock p.m. I am not doing it. I'm just winging it because I don't have time to format it.
Good man.
All right, here we go. First up, Derek says, big makeup from last year's predictions. Am I right? Say what?
Okay, well, in fairness, Derek, let's be honest. It was some of the most respectable Oscars.
Spencer, it's been such a long time. Please let Brian know the rules of Dirty Talk.
Brian, there's one rule in Dirty Talk. Let me finish. That's the name of the rule, okay? So, in all caps, he says, am I right? Say what? I respond, you brought your A game, Some would say it was more obvious this year, but Brian can shove it. And Derek responds, yeah, of course Brian would make that remark. Now, Brian, you make it to you.
Of course. I mean, first of all, he records this, I think, probably while the Oscars were going on. It was a much clearer set of categories, and the winners were really easy to predict this year. Mm-hmm. And while I congratulate Derek for going the easy and obvious route, I don't think he deserves any huge amount of praise.
Well, hopefully Derek will come on to give his rebuttal.
He won't. He's chicken.
Oh. Sound guy. The battle of sound guys. All right. Next up, I talked to fan of the podcast, not super fan, but fan of the podcast, Nick West. Nick West says, I say to Nick, you should record a new promo for us. Nick responds, I need to hear the new podcast to see if I want my name behind it. Ouch, Nick. A little steep, a little harsh there.
Now, was this...
And for that reason, we still not got a promo for us.
Was this Nick West from Chicago or Nick West from Dallas or Nick West from New York?
It's the Nick West that was in Chicago, then moved to New York, moved back to Chicago, stopped in Dallas for a month, and then got up and left and went back to Chicago, and now I believe is in New York.
And didn't he live in Dallas for a little while, and you had plans to hang out with him, and then he had moved?
Jeremy, record the tape, okay? I just said 35 seconds ago. He was in New York, then he moved back to Dallas for 2 months, and he left Dallas with no bags, just left and never came back.
But also, though, in Nick's defense, it has been – up until last episode, it had been a very long time since we did a podcast. So he's right to be a little, hesitant, I think.
And after hearing your audio, he has even more.
Shut the hell up.
All right. Well, Nick's not done. Uh-oh. Nick, who did listen to the podcast, responds, Todd has a serious Mexican girlfriend? I hope she doesn't listen to this podcast. Well, Nick, I can tell you I was in Austin 2 weeks ago right after we recorded this podcast. And Todd and I were going on and on about this very podcast, and she wanted to listen, but Todd quickly closed his computer and put it under his bed where she could not find it.
Unless she's cleaning.
Spencer, can we talk about that video you sent of Todd and his girlfriend doing the salsa dance?
Well, I thought we'd release it for all the
We should put
fans.
That on the website. Spencer, I guess, took a 15-second video of Todd and his Latino girlfriend doing a salsa-like moves to a very Spanish salsa.
She had some great moves.
She was good.
She got some low.
But,
Todd's a little stiff.
Yeah, very stiff, and they almost crashed into each other for a second, when they kind of get close.
Right. Well, salsa is a hard dance.
To be fair, I applaud Todd, because Todd tells me he goes to the salsa they have salsa events in Austin, and he goes by himself. He goes as a single guy, and basically, they know it's a salsa event, so he'll find a girl to salsa dance, but it's there's no guarantee. You would think a lot of couples go to this. So I give him credit. He goes there by himself, but it's very obvious when he dances. It's kind of like when he does a pickup line. It's very premeditated. He's counting in his head. You see his lips kind of mumbling back and forth. 1, 2, dip. 1, 2, bright. So he's just got to get – past that where he's basically cheating on an exam step, where he's just being more natural.
Brian, can we get that on the website?
Sure.
And can you plug the website for those that don't know?
2JewsInAGay.wordpress.com right now is the current URL.
I'll tell you what. Brian, you just focus on your audio.
Yeah,
and
Jesus,
we'll
Brian.
Lock it up.
For those that don't
know, speaking of,
everyone go to 2JewsAndAGay.wordpress.com. You can listen to every episode, and you can watch Todd do a little salsa dancing.
And that's episodes 1 through 30. However, we recommend maybe pass over the first 9. a little fantasy football centric. Anyway, speaking of Todd, I asked him, so your debate with Brian, too close to call? Mm-hmm. He responds, I don't think so. I killed him.
Oh.
Give me more time and it would be obvious. He had nothing to say at the end. He was speechless and was forced to end the segment and change subjects.
That's such bullshit.
What?
The reason we changed subjects was because that's what the dictates of the interview were. I mean, first of all, I think all the people that I spoke to about the debate who could actually understand the debate because of the poor audio, they thought I completely destroyed Todd. And they really were kind of questioning his un-Americanism because you know, it's pretty obvious that he doesn't care about America anymore. He's just kind of in it for himself.
Yeah,
so.
I was confused by that, Spencer. Does he, like, it was very much like we all should move out of America and go to, like, China. Like,
No, he's not saying that. He's saying you should invest in basically money outside of the country. You know, you could be the wealthiest person here, just don't have it with U.S. dollars is what he's implying.
But that's not the American way.
Well.
Why does Todd hate America?
What's going on there?
He just doesn't believe. He doesn't believe in the government.
Is he going to move to Mexico?
Well, he did go to Puerto Rico for 3 weeks.
Well, that's technically still the United States.
It's still, you know, it's a commonwealth. But, you know, he was venturing with the idea of possibly moving.
I feel like Todd hates white people.
Well, that remains to be seen. All right. Moving on. Todd also said his friend Garth and his dad feel that I was the only smart person talking about the economy and that the person who was arguing against me was an idiot.
Well, Brian, may I, in your defense, we should talk to Garth's father because he named his son Garth, okay? I think that the clear-cut idiot is Garth's father. And if you're listening, Garth's father, I appreciate you listening to this episode.
Hey, we'll take it. Well, and to be fair, Garth is one of the two people that dropped off our
– He did, yes.
– our list of people. What do you call that? The distribution
list. The subscriber list.
Yeah.
Is that his full name? Is it like really Garth?
It is Garth.
Brian, am I the only one that finds that name kind of odd?
It's an odd name.
Yeah, okay.
Speaking of Todd and his Mexican girlfriend, Jalanta, the artist formerly known as Jalanta.
I miss him.
Made a comment. He says, I don't talk to Jews with Mexican girlfriends. Oh, he's at it again.
Oh, sounds like Cheryl.
And then he also – well, speaking of Cheryl, Jeremy, you have such great timing. He says, I am on your mom's side with this.
Yeah.
Wow. Boy.
So do you
have – then he says, just kidding. Good for Todd to branch out.
Spencer, do you have any insight? Like, were you there in that conversation that – because it sounds like Cheryl's, like, very upset about Todd dating this girl.
Well, I would say that, but it seems to be – Cheryl might not even know that this is still going on.
Oh.
Because, as I said, I told you guys off the air, we just got our wedding invitations. We're in the process of preparing them to be mailed, and guess who's on one of the invitations on the envelope? It says Mr. Todd Yasmin and Mrs. You know who. As far as I know, Cheryl does not know Todd is bringing not only a plus one, but a senorita plus one.
But Spencer, what's going to happen during the family photo time at the wedding?
Well, if it's anything like Lauren's wedding, one syllable, by the way, Lauren. It will be very awkward. My mom will make a dirty stare and make everyone else feel very uncomfortable as she is the only one fighting this war about not having an individual in the photo. The true story. This actually happened.
So he brought a girl to Lauren's wedding?
It was an aunt and uncle's son who was dating this girl, was going to get married to the girl. I mean, they weren't engaged yet, but they've been dating for 3 years. And my mom was the only one making these, like, eye rolls. You know, it's just very uncomfortable. As the son of the mother, you know, it's just like, why? Why, Cheryl? Why?
Now, Brian, what's your opinion on this? Do you think she should be allowed in the photos and not? Like,
no.
It's kind of a delicate situation.
She should not be allowed in the photos unless they're, like, engaged.
You know, the sad thing is she's listening to this episode for the very first time. And she's got, like, just tissues everywhere as she hears her world.
No, it has nothing to do with her. It would be – even if Todd was dating someone that Cheryl adored, I think it's inappropriate to have someone that you're dating in the family photos of a wedding unless you're engaged to that person. Because what happens if the relationship ends? All of a sudden you have all these family photos with this person that you don't see anymore. It's just awkward.
Well, I figured we can crop her out and we can crop Todd out. You know, he's kind of anti-Yasmin's as it is. We'll have them on the left or the right at all times.
With a nice little gap between him and the rest of the family, so it's easy to crop it.
And Spencer.
You know, like I said, we're also having a photo booth, I think I told you guys. Uh-huh. And so we'll be sure when people paste their photos into our, like, this big album we're going to have, we'll be sure that he's on the back page just in case. And those will be the tearaway pages, mm-hmm. just in case. You know, just in case.
And Spencer, currently what is the Yasmin headcount at the wedding looking like?
60 invites, 20 coming, 20 saying FU, and 20 just didn't even feel the need to respond back.
And the Feldman headcount?
270, growing. The brother is pregnant with another kid, so number five on the way. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, never been better. Last person I gave a quote about was Jolanta, the artist formerly known as Jorlando. So as he was talking about Todd, he then said, just kidding, good for Todd to branch out. He then also said, I've only listened to the first half hour of the podcast. Brian's audio was horrible. Oh. However, it made his voice sound better. Jorlando.
You knew it was coming.
Oh, Jorlando. Never a dull moment with that guy.
What a dick.
What a dick. All right, moving on. Friend out there in LA, David Ruckman, says Todd sounded nervous in his debate with Brian. So an anti-Todd campaign going on here. Brian, anything?
Well, I mean, he was nervous because he knew he was on the wrong side of history.
Okay, okay. So we got one for Brian, and so far three for Todd, including Todd in that. Dan from San Francisco.
San Francisco.
Dan on B-Mart's audio. The man sounds like a wimpy Bane.
Okay, that's a good line.
Dan, direct to Brian. Direct message to Brian. B-Mart, get ready for the attacks from the superfans. You can try, but you can't fix that voice. a lot of Brian voice bashing in this one. And
well,
rightfully rightfully so. Enough. Rightfully so. Hey, remember that guy Garth we were talking about earlier?
Yeah.
Well, guess what? I forwarded him the email since, you know, he said, I don't want to get the list anymore. I don't want to get the email notification. I sent it to him anyway because I know anytime Todd's on, he's interested. He writes to me, okay, you have me hooked based on the fourth teaser bullet point, which, if you recall in the email, was – Todd gives a lesson on how to disappoint your mother.
Good writing, Brian.
Nick writes, I Googled Batista belly button, and all that came up was chicken parmesan. Oh.
No one else gets that joke. I love it, though. It's
As
great.
I was saying, I remember that. So that's not going to work. But for Nick, we say thank you. And now, the Dirty Talk quote of the week. And now, the Dirty Talk quote of the week, which is actually from one of our fans of the podcast, the voice of the voice of the voiceless. His birthday is coming up, and he actually has a audio birthday wish he wants to give us. So take it away, Greg.
This is Greg. As you know, my birthday is coming up, and I have a special birthday wish. I've gotten a lot of good wishes over the years. Most of them have come true. But because this is my 30th, this one is extra special. It's from the heart, and I hope it comes true. I just want to say that I hope Brian leaves the show because I cannot stand listening to him anymore.
Well, that's a wish that's not going to come true.
Birthday canceled.
Come on, it's his 30th birthday. Yeah, do him a favor. Come on.
That's kind of weird, unless he wants to start sucking dick and become the new gay, it's not going to happen.
I'll text him now and find out.
And is that the Dirty Talk for the week?
I believe I said that was a Dirty Talk quarter of the week.
Pay attention.
I know, but I mean, you normally wrap it up somewhere. That's the Dirty Talk. That's Dirty Talk for this week. But you didn't really do.
How does he follow if he wants to suck dick? I don't think you can follow that. So.
Okay, listeners of last week's podcast will remember my boyfriend has mentioned that he wants to hear more of the wrestling roundup, and despite my better judgment, I have agreed to let Spencer and Jeremy have this time. So without further ado, the wrestling roundup.
Yes, sir, we promised you a great man.
The wrestling roundup with Spencer Yasmin and Jeremy Kotz.
So, boys, are you ready for question one?
I mean, we're ready, but I think we both know this is – you're going to let us get two words in, so sure, just go ahead.
Yeah, Brian, you're just going to buzz us again. You always do that. You don't let us talk about wrestling.
Now
– wrestling, he said.
It's, come on, Jeremy, get it right. It's wrestling.
it's not fake.
I'm going to do – I'm going to hold out as long as I can. I'm going to really try to give you guys the forum, the platform that you need to discuss this very important to you make-believe sport. So,
hey, it's sports entertainment, and it's the Super Bowl of wrestling.
It's not
right?
fake.
If you're talking about the Super Bowl of wrestling, you have to be talking about WrestleMania.
Oh.
Damn right.
Good. Quick learner.
So here's the first question. This year's WrestleMania will be hosted by the WWE Hall of Famer, the immortal Hulk Hogan. The spectacle will also feature the Andre the Giant Battle Royal Memorial. The participants include Big E Langston, the Long Island Iced Tea Zack Ryder, the show-off Dolph Ziggler, the big guy Ryback, the real American Jack Swagger, and the Punjab Warrior, the Greek Kali. Jeremy, I think I got that name right. Who do you think will win the Battle Royale?
Spencer, I got three words for you. Big E Langston.
I got one for you. Cesario.
No way. No way.
He's gonna dominate.
Guys, I'm sorry. I really tried, but nobody gives a fucking rat's ass about WrestleMania.
Even Hulk Hogan
fucking looks bored at these things now. I mean, you guys need to give it up. You had fun while you were like teenagers, you know, doing your thing, trying to like entertain yourselves between Skinamax movies, but it's time for you're almost in your 30s. It's time for you to put away the childish toys and get back to reality.
Look, Brian, with all due respect, it was your boyfriend that said to give us this moment, okay? You gave us five seconds less than you typically do.
He expressed no desire to learn anything more about wrestling. He was just intrigued because you guys seem to be very passionate about it. I think he assumes you guys are younger than you actually are.
Well, he is dead wrong. Now, I'm in the WrestleMania fever. I would like another question.
Yeah,
please.
Come on. It's WrestleMania season, Brian. Please, respect the season.
All right. Okay.
Wait, are you okay, by the way? What's that sound?
Well, I'm actually on an EKG monitoring my heart.
That's not part of the story. That's not part of the WWE storyline.
Well, I mean, unlike the WWE, my heart condition's not fake. I was told by the doctor to take it easy, which is why I'm glad Todd's not on the podcast this week, because you know he gets my blood boiling when he starts talking about shafting America. But I promise I'm going to try to take it easy. I'm going to read this last question. I'm going to give you some time to talk about it. I may go run some errands. So I'm going to read this question and we'll let you guys take it over.
Thank you.
Question two. The most popular wrestler in the WWE is the leader of the Yes Movement, the Goatface himself, Daniel Bryan. If Bryan beats the Cerebral Assassin and leader of The Authority, Triple H will then be added to the main event for the World Heavyweight Championship against the Animal Batista and Apex Predator Randy Orton. Spencer, can the Yes Movement persevere over The Authority and dethrone the current reign of Orton and stop the Royal Rumble winner in his tracks?
Well, it's an interesting dilemma, I have to say, Jeremy, because we've been building towards this for a long time, but it seems almost too obvious that Bryan's just going to win the first match against Triple H
and then
go on to be the champion.
What dilemma? They've been screwing over Daniel Bryan every single pay-per-view. He wasn't in the Royal Rumble.
But that's what makes the fans watch him more. It's because we want to see him win, but then they always disappoint us.
Triple H will not let someone else steal his spotlight.
So we're in agreement. It's not going to happen.
Bryan, are you all right?
Bryan, what's wrong?
Bryan.
Oh, I'm sorry. I, I had to do some chest compressions to keep my heart beating.
Should we continue?
Yeah. So anyways, continue that. Daniel Bryan is
No. We're not continuing anymore. That, ladies and gentlemen, has been the Wrestling Roundup.
This is Eric Katz.
Brian's promise to break his heterosexual charity. You have guaranteed to deliver the big O.
The only thing I enjoy more than taking my regularly scheduled dump is listening to Two Jews and a Gay.
It is now time for Brian's weekly rant.
It irritates me, it upsets me. Seriously, Spencer, go fuck yourself. My voice sounded like shit. Never before have I been so irritated with two people. Don't screw me like that. What's up with your fucking friend about my voice? Would you all shut the fuck up? I don't care. You guys made your bed. Don't let it happen again. Or else you might be part of the weekly rant.
Let's keep this plane moving. I have a plane to catch.
I'm flying back to LA a few weeks ago, and I'm going through security. I managed to get stuck behind not one or two or three or even four, but five people who seemed to be surprised that we were at the airport. They were shocked that they had to take off their shoes, remove their belts, and take out laptops like they hadn't been traveling this country over the last 13 years. When I go to the airport, I'm all business. Maybe it's because I'm gay, but I'm really good at whipping off my belt and taking off my shoes in a moment's notice, and I do love a good pat-down. But come on, fellow travelers, let's lose those deer in the headlights look and let's keep this line moving.
Let's keep this line moving. I'm getting hungry.
And while we're on the subject of waiting in lines, why is it every time I go to McDonald's, I get stuck behind the people who seem totally unfamiliar with the menu? It's McDonald's. It's not that fucking complicated. It's not like you're going to accidentally order the prime rib. Your choices are beef-flavored grease, chicken-flavored grease, or during Lent, fish-flavored grease. I can make this real simple for you. If the question you have to ask about the menu is this fresh? The answer is, it's McDonald's. These aren't vine-ripened tomatoes or organic lettuce or cheese-aged for years. It's mass-produced, delicious food that, based on the size of your ass, you're already really familiar with. So let's cut the crap, order your 20-piece McNuggets with a supersized fry and a Diet Coke with an apple pie to wash it all down with so we can get this line moving.
Brian's third-person diatribe about Brian?
Finally, I wanted to rant about the person responsible for the horrible audio from last episode. Now, normally it's either Spencer or Jeremy's fault, but not this time. It's 100% mine. Get together, Brian. You're the engine that drives this show, and it irritates me that you let so many of your listeners down. Without me, you're left with Spencer's wedding drama and Jeremy's laugh, and that can only support a podcast for 30 minutes, 45 tops. It irritates me even more because it makes the voice of the voice of the voices seem like he actually has a point, and I'd rather turn the show over to Todd than ever admit that. So drop the excuses, Brian, and tighten your shit up, or else you might be the next target of the weekly rant. It is NCAA March Madness time, and we thought it'd be a great opportunity to bring on Magic Mikey and his NCAA picks of the year. Take it away, Mikey.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Magic Mikey's Picks of the Week March Madness edition. After a contract dispute and some time spent in a place I'd rather not talk about, I'm back, more ready than ever to make some picks and have all our listeners make themselves some money. For March Madness, we're going to have three prop bets that I recommend, easy money, and I'm going to pick a final four. So let's get started. First prop bet, will a 14, 15, 16 seed win any game in the NCAA tournament? That's University of Louisiana Lafayette, MRSA, North Carolina Central, Western Michigan, American, Eastern Kentucky, Milwaukee, or Wolford. Any one of those teams just needs to win a game. I say yes, minus 135, take the odds and get after it. Next fun prop bet, will a 2 seed have over or under 8.5 wins total between all of them? That's Kansas, Villanova, Michigan, and Wisconsin. 8.5 wins between the four schools. I say yes again. Let's do it. Next one. Will any of the AAC teams, that's the old Big East teams, win more or less than 5.5 games total? That's Cincinnati, UConn, St. Louis, and Memphis. Excuse me, Louisville and Memphis. Once again, over 5.5. Take that to the bank. Now, for my final four teams, mark my words, bring it. Kansas, my alma mater, Andrew Wiggins taking them to the final four. St. Louis, sleeper here at the 5 seed, Rick Majerus, former head coach, before he passed away, they're going to win it for Big Rick. Creighton, Doug McDermott, the best shooter in the country, coach's son, does not miss. He can put up 40 in any one of these games and he will carry them to the final four. And then we have the old staple, Michigan State. Tom Izzo, since he's been a coach there, every single one of his seniors have made it to a Final Four. This year's not going to be any different. So, Kansas, St. Louis, Creighton, Michigan State. There's your Final Four. See you all next week with my picks for the finals.
No episode of Two Jews and a Gay would be complete without a little Dirty Talk Hollywood. Jeremy Katz, take it away.
Spencer, first headline.
All right.
Jennifer Aniston is finally tying the knot again. Rumors have it that Jennifer Aniston and Justin Theroux are going to have a June wedding with a quote-unquote minimalist approach. Now, some highlights include the following. There will be only 100 guests, a modest 7-course sit-down dinner with vegan options for each course, and Oprah Winfrey will casually officiate. B-Mart, who's having the more impressive wedding, Jennifer Aniston or Spencer Yasmin?
Well, I have to go with Jennifer Aniston, mainly because Justin Theroux has a phenomenal body, and you know the honeymoon alone is going to be much better than anything that Spencer can put on for Corey. I mean, it's just Justin Theroux. Have you seen him? His body is sick. I would run my hands over that for hours and days on end, and I'd probably only rub my hands down Spencer for maybe 30 minutes.
Okay, stop right now. This wedding comes down to two things when you look at both weddings, right?
Preach.
The second person in the wedding for that wedding and versus our wedding.
Okay.
Justin Theroux, the evil DJ in Zoolander versus Corey Feldman. Come on.
He's got a point. Well, let's go through the categories. Okay, so first up we have the guest list. Jennifer Aniston has 100 guests. Spencer's got 500 guests. Now, in Jennifer Aniston's...
Winner
Aniston, because...
She might have Clooney. Brian, she might have Clooney.
Yeah.
But Spencer has...
It's going to be one of the most
exclusive elite Hollywood celebrities going to that. And at most, we're going to have one or two Hollywood celebrities at Spencer's.
Right. Jeremy, let's go round by round. Her wedding's got a Clooney. We got a Toddy. All right? Okay. I think we all agree a Toddy wins.
I think hands down.
No, I think the guests win, Spencer. I mean, how many Whitemans are going to be there?
How many Whitemans? Oh, yeah. God, like 30% will be Whitemans, right. So about 130.
Spencer wins that round. Next.
Thank you.
All right, next comes the food. Now, again, rumors say that Jennifer Aniston is going to have a 7-course sit-down with vegan options.
Oh,
now, Spencer.
Vegan?
Spencer, though, is going to have vegetarian option. He's going to have Chicken Cacciatore. He's going to have...
No, I hate Chicken Cacciatore. Cheryl, I've told you this for the last 29 years. Every time you make it, every week, I've always said, I hate Chicken Cacciatore. And she goes, I thought that was your favorite. No, I hate it. That and salmon croquettes. We will have a duo, probably a short rib and a sea bass, okay? If you want a vegan dinner, then by all means, go over to the Justin Theroux, Jennifer Aniston, and a Clooney wedding. If you're looking for a duo of fine quality meat and fish by Wolfgang Puck Catering, you come to a Yasmin Feldman and Toddy wedding.
All right, Brian, who takes that round? Aniston or Yasmin?
Jennifer Aniston. I mean, it's a vegan option, which means that, like, so I'm confused. Are you providing both the fish and the meat option to everyone, or do you choose the fish
no,
or the meat?
No, you don't choose, baby. You get both. It's a duo.
Ah, well, then.
Game changer.
That is a game changer, Brian.
That is a game changer.
So 2-0 Yasmin Feldman versus evil DJ Aniston.
Well, actually, it's a game changer for a different reason. Because we've both got, you know, not to interrupt Dirty Talk Hollywood, we got the invitations today in the mail.
To the
Spencer Yasmin wedding. But Jeremy and I were very confused initially because there was on the RSVP card, there was no selection for dinner. So we're like, did they just forget? Like, is this a massive oversight of a 500 envelope proportion that they just overlooked giving us the option of food? But now it totally makes sense. So
yeah, this is a very nice wedding. Okay, you can have your little checkoffs. There's nothing wrong with that. But in the Yasmin Feldman and Toddy wedding, we strongly believe we're going to give you a little taste of everything.
How does Corey feel that Todd is being saddled on to this wedding?
Well, Jeremy said Clooney, so I had to bring in a Toddy, okay?
Yeah,
I thought
he's got a point. Clear. Spencer's got a point.
So Anyway, there's nothing wrong with having a checkoff, but we don't want to hinder anybody. If you want a little fish, you want a little meat, well, guess what? We're going to give you both. All if you don't eat it, you'll get a tie that will eat it for you.
Let's go to the tiebreaker, because Brian says that he gives the guest list to Aniston. He doesn't respect the toddy over the Clooney. We all agree that the food goes to the Yasmin. Okay, so now here's the tiebreaker. Now, this is going to be a very competitive round, Brian. Oprah Winfrey is officiating versus an Orthodox Jew who's also a Feldman. Brian, take it away.
Oprah Winfrey officiating at your wedding? Like, let's be perfectly honest. Spencer, you would drop Corey's brother in a hot second if Oprah Winfrey was willing to officiate your wedding.
All right, you listen to me, you son of a bitch. I completely agree with you. No disrespect to her brother, Chad, but he's actually becoming a headache in this whole process. He won't sign the ketubah unless it's all in Hebrew. We've made it very clear to him that we want a very reform service. He's agreed to it, but there's these little hidden messages he keeps dropping in.
Uh-oh.
I'm thinking we're going to have the big thing that they have in the cartoons when they like yank the cartoon character out from the stage when they've gone on too long.
I'm worried
we might have to do that with
like
him.
The Academy Awards. We'll have to play
him
off.
He's got a 30-minute time limit. Yeah, he's got 30 minutes. I told you I've been doing a wedding marriage counseling with Corey with him, and they've gone on for what, a good two hours?
Oh boy.
3 hours, she's telling me. 3 hours. Oh, she's telling me 1 hour.
Brian, that's gonna be a lot of standing for you at the wedding.
Yeah, I mean, if this was a Catholic wedding, at least I'd be on my knees.
All right, boys, moving on to the next headline. Now, the next Hollywood big-budget gamble to come out is Noah.
My nephew?
No, Spencer.
Oh.
Noah, the biblical figure. The film is directed by acclaimed filmmaker Darren Aronofsky, who directed both Requiem for a Dream and Black Swan. The film stars Russell Crowe as the biblical figure Noah. Let's take a listen.
We build a vessel to survive the storm. We build an ark. What do you want?
You don't know your king.
There isn't anything for you here.
I have made up my back. You stand alone and defy me.
I'm not alone.
Boys, will this be a box office hit or Hollywood's latest misfire?
I think it'll probably do reasonably well because there's 60% of Americans that actually think the story of Noah is literally true. That one of every animal in the entire planet was conveniently geographically located very close to Noah, and he was able to put them all on two by two on a big wooden ark where it then proceeded to rain for 40 days and 40 nights. They actually think this really happened. So my prediction is it will actually have a better than expected box office.
Spencer?
Two questions. How much did this movie cost to make, and when is it coming out exactly?
It cost reportedly close to $200 million, and it's coming out in the end of March.
I'm going to say this movie will not make back. I think it will end up around $125 million internationally, including everything.
Mm-hmm.
I think the problem is they should have taken a note out of what that A&E movie or whatever they made, the Son of God movie.
Which is huge, by the way. Huge.
Right. You don't need a big name actor to do this, right? You just get a cheap actor and you don't need all the special effects and you'll make your money back in 2 weekends. So that movie was on TV last year and they just re-released it and it made its money back. So I think because of the $200 million budget, I maybe it comes close, but I think the fact that it comes close is a failure in itself when you have a movie that costs $200 million. So I'm going to say it does not make its money back.
I think the real question, though, is are they crossing their fingers for a sequel?
Well, bring up a good point, though, Spencer. I'm going to direct this towards Brian. Is Russell Crowe, is his days of being a leading man over?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was over like a decade ago. What are you talking about?
Spencer? Well,
did you guys see Broke? I mean, come on. Broken City?
Yeah, you got a point. I think Mark Wahlberg got something.
I thought he was really good in Man of Steel. I thought he was a great Jor-El.
Here we go again, Spencer.
Oh, God.
At least he can pronounce
Krypton. He was so good that they're bringing Batman in.
And with that said, boys, that's Dirty Talk Hollywood.
Thank you, Jeremy. Well, I think it's been a fantastic episode, and Mike, I'm sorry that your picks didn't turn out. I'm just skeptically saying that. Spencer, any last thoughts?
LaSalle all the way.
And Mikey. And
what
Jeremy.
What happened to UNLV, Spencer?
What? I don't even think they won two games this year.
I do want to say, Spencer, that you know, Brian and I have received the invitation to the wedding, and the invitation is beautiful. It is a great invitation. We're all very honored to be coming, and yeah, we're what, 2 months away, so it's gonna be a fun ride until then.
Absolutely. And how's your tux looking, Jeremy, that you went to try on?
I will get back to you on that.
Oh, okay. Thank you very much.
And on that note, for Jeremy Katz and Spencer Yasmin, I'm Brian Martinson, and we will catch you next time.
Whoa, Brian, before we go, man, you really gotta give us one more question. I mean, you've been cutting us short on every opportunity to talk wrestling.
Yeah, Brian, give us one more shot.
Okay. One last question. Last question forever. Has to do with the spectacle of WrestleMania 30, Streak versus the Monster. Will the Phenom, a.k.a. the Dead Man, a.k.a. the American Badass, The Undertaker's streak of 21-0 at WrestleMania come to an end against the next big thing, Brock Lesnar?
Spencer, I think this might be the year that The Undertaker finally loses to Brock Lesnar.
You're crazy! He's not losing to a part-time wrestler like Brock Lesnar. He doesn't come and bring
it
every day.
Are you guys fucking kidding me? We are still talking about this shit? What do you mean? The Undertaker streak of 21-0. Like it's some sort of fucking impressive event. When it's all fake bullshit. The reason he's 21-0 is because Vince McMahon told him he's going to be 21-0. So why do you guys get it out of your fucking head that this thing has any real importance whatsoever? It just makes me so goddamn mad when you guys keep on going after this shit. And I cannot believe that we have to keep on talking about this fucking WrestleMania shit. I'm done with this. We are over. It's over. We're done. No more. I don't care if this is the last podcast I ever tape.
Brian? Brian?
Brian.
You okay? Oh, boy. Oh, boy.